Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio, in for Maggie and Perloff. Let's head out to the guest line right now. Welcome in a Super Bowl champion, a Pro Bowl linebacker, played for the Seahawks and the Raiders, and that, of course, is KJ Wright, kind enough to spend a few minutes with us right now on CBS Sports Radio. KJ, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
No doubt. Been good, man. How you guys doing?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. So you were in that Raiders locker room last year. When you see the news the other day that they're benching Derek Carr, and we all know it's inevitable that this offseason they're going to split, just how did you process that yesterday?
I was heartbroken for him. Just in the year that we spent together, I've grown to love the man, built a relationship with him. Awesome teammate, awesome family man. As we all know, though, this is a multi-billion-dollar business, and it's all about results. It's all about winning. And Derek Carr, you just look at his whole career. He hasn't quite done nearly enough to what a lot of people expected of him being that Raiders quarterback. So I definitely feel for him, man, but they had to make that decision, man. The offseason they put together, bringing in Devontae Adams, bringing in Josh McDaniels, just building this franchise to get to the playoffs and actually make some noise. The results that we've seen from Derek Carr is nearly, you know, it's not close to what they expected coming into this season.
I get why they're going to move on, but I just don't know what they're going to do next. And with what we've seen from McDaniels this year, it's kind of tough for me to trust that they're going to be able to bring in the next guy and get it right this time around.
Yeah, because you look at it like, what do? They trade them? Do they cut them? You got a draft that's coming up with some phenomenal quarterbacks. What do you do? And so I'm not sure what his trade value is going to be, but I know that with Josh McDaniels, he's clearly not the guy. You know, Derek Carr, the relationship is over with. So I'm looking over there in San Francisco by a guy by the name of Jimmy Garoppolo, who could potentially come in. You make a trade for him. He comes in, you're familiar with the style of offense, still in his prime. You potentially pair him with Josh McDaniels. They really make some noise. So where Derek Carr ends up, I don't know, but I do believe they're going to have to wait till after the draft with all these quarterbacks come off the board.
Yeah, it would not be surprising to me if they go out there and they get Jimmy G, especially with the relationship he has with Josh McDaniels. I'm just wondering, since you were in that locker room last year, and we know things that you couldn't even imagine did go on, unfortunately, with the Raiders franchise, but you guys found a way to get to the playoffs. Like, how stunning is it that a year later, this team is in as bad as the spot that they're in right now?
I mean, it only makes sense because I was there last year, and we made the playoffs, and KJ Wright all of a sudden leaves, and it's another disaster. So that's a big part of it. But I just honestly, I look at Mark Davis, and I look at, what was he thinking when he did not hire Rich Bisaccia? Like, he was the guy that all the players loved. He was the guy that had all the drama. We got 10 wins, made the playoffs, and we looked really dang good. And so I'm looking at him and like, man, what are you going to do going forward with this team? Because you know, did phenomenal when I was there last year, got 10 wins, and you have a decent roster. You have guys in that building that can win ball games. If you do not bring the right quarterback in, if you do not draft properly, it can continue being a mess over there in Vegas.
If Rich Bisaccia was still there, what do you think this team would have done this year?
They would have been phenomenal. They would have been really good. They bought into his style. He held guys accountable. When Derek Carr played bad, he put it on the board like, hey, this is what you're doing. I need you to do way better in this aspect. He came into the offensive meeting rooms. He's in the special teams meeting rooms. That team would have still been great, but you know, we can't cry over spilled milk. Josh McDaniels is there. And it's been a complete disaster so far. And so I do believe that McDaniels is going to be there next year. He just got to get his guy in at quarterback. to make this thing look good.
I'm sure you still know some guys in that locker room that you probably still talk to. Just what has been their view on this entire season and how Josh McDaniels has done?
Because I'll talk to my guys during training camp, and you know how it is with the Patriots way during training camp. They were tackling full speed. Practices were all day, two-a-days, it felt like. And so it was definitely a culture shock when he came in there. And so I'm just talking to the guys over the year. It's been frustrating. It's just to see what they put together, the expectations that they had, and the results that they're giving. It's heartbreaking to see, you know, what they put together. And so I'm real close with Josh Jacobs, and, you know, seeing how he's had a phenomenal year, but the results haven't shown. And so we'll see if he's there next year as well. And so it's a lot of holes to fill in that Raiders team.
KJ Wright here with us. It's kind of crazy how that division played out. Like, Kansas City, people thought they were going to fall off a little bit. They've been as dominant as they've been. The Chargers now going to the postseason. The Raiders we're talking about has been a disaster, but we all know you know Russell Wilson pretty well for your time in Seattle. What has been your view on this season for the Broncos as year number one for Russ out there in Denver has just been a disaster?
I know, man. And just looking at it throughout the season, I was looking at Russell play. I'm like, oh, Nathaniel Hackett has no idea what he's doing with Russ. He's the reason why he's got to go. But as I watch Russ throughout the year, I'm like, it's Russ that's just playing bad. It's Russ not going through his progressions. It's Russ not able to complete a ball 40 yards downfield. It's Russ's energy. And I played with a guy, like, I witnessed a Hall of Fame quarterback. I saw his passion jump off the tape every time we stepped in to play. Russell Wilson was ready to go. And I just simply didn't recognize this guy this year. And so I do believe that he has to look himself in the mirror and he has to get back to the drawing board. And so it was a complete disaster. I'm interested to see who they bring in as a head coach because he has got to find a way to get Russell Wilson back on track.
Is the ego, though, of Russell Wilson now too big for him to honestly look himself in the mirror and realize what he needs to change?
Russell needs a really good friend right now. Russell needs his agent, to be honest with him. Russ needs a head coach to put that ego to the side. Hey, Russ, we know what you're good at. You know what you're good at. If your ego is, I want to drop back and throw the ball 50 times a game from the pocket, that it will be another disastrous season. So he needs to remove his ego. Ego is the enemy. And so he needs people in his camp to be honest with him, to be brutally honest with him, to say, hey, let's get a really great head coach or a really good play caller to do what you do best.
It also is pretty damaging when you look back at the entire thing and pretty telling now where Russ wanted to leave Seattle. And it's not like Pete, who was his most loyal supporter for years, really put up that much of a fight. It's like Pete almost saw some signs that Russ was about to decline.
Yep, and I believe Coach Carroll also saw that Russ wanted to have his own philosophy. Russ wanted to have things his way, and Coach Carroll was like, no, 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 we're going to do it this way. We've always ran the ball here in Seattle. We always use a play-action game. That's what you are great at. Hey, Russell, we're not going to run this hurry-up offense that you are presenting to the team. We're not going to go shotgun 70% of the time. We're going to do things this way. And Coach Carroll had to get his team back. Coach Carroll had to get control of that locker room. And I do believe that he saw, you know, throughout practices, especially with his injury that he had last year, maybe it is time for us to separate and rebuild this team. And so to get two first-round draft picks, two second-round draft picks, and, you know, could potentially draft your quarterback of the future, this is one of the biggest steals in NFL history that we're seeing right now.
Also, and you played on those defenses, and we've talked about the dynamics in those locker rooms before, especially with Russ when he was with the Seahawks. It seems like the former Legion of Boom and some of those guys on the defensive side of the ball a little extra happy to see the way that this year played out. Is that fair to say?
I wouldn't say happy. I think we would say that I think it just gave us further confirmation, like, hey, we were the reason why all this success was happening in Seattle. And it's just so unfortunate that we let that you know, divide our team, especially the biggest thing was the NFC Championship game. When Russ threw all those interceptions and the defense, we held it down and we found a way to win. And then Russ threw the game with a touchdown. A lot of people were just upset over who got the credit. I was like, who the hell cares? We're going back to the Super Bowl. But it's just little stuff that divided our team, media attention, favoritism from Coach Carroll, just all this unnecessary drama that surfaced throughout this time. So no one's happy that he's struggling, but it did give some guys confirmation, like, we are the reason why that era was so special.
You guys had such a great team And I know, and we've talked about this before, once the interception happened at the goal line and Marshawn didn't get the ball, that was it for the Seattle Seahawks as we knew it. So maybe it's more than that, but why weren't you guys all able to get on the same page after how that Super Bowl and how that final year, really where the Seahawks that we knew them were at, get back to that form, just wondering.
Yeah, we essentially couldn't trust each other anymore. We thought there was some hidden agenda. Does someone want Russ to be the MVP? You just shattered our dreams to be called back-to-back Super Bowl champion. And so this relationship we have, this cool, Legion of Boom, Marshawn, all this stuff, this is over. Like, we can't even look at each other the same way. And so it was just a dark, gray, rainy cloud hovering over that building for several years. And they had to essentially wash guys out. Like, there's so much bad energy in this building. You got to go. You got to go. You got to go to get this thing back to where we want it to be. And so we couldn't. There was no overcoming that. We were still talented. We still had guys in the building. But mentally and, emotionally, we were not connected.
KJ right here with us. Did you see the gift that the Amazon Prime crew got Richard Sherman, by the way?
That was hilarious. Uncle Sherm has that sitting right next to his mantle in his bedroom right now. That was a good one.
I would love to see an honest conversation between Russ and Richard Sherman, because it seems like there's a lot of unfinished business between those two.
Yep, and then I see those guys. I saw Sherm when he went to Denver for the Thursday night game. You see them talking, but hey, guys.
KJ, let's be real. I thought that was a bad look for Richard Sherman. We know he's not all buddy-buddy and friendly-friendly with Russ anymore.
I said the same thing. I'm like, really, Sherm? You ever having a kumbaya conversation? No, sir. I tell you, one day I'm going to get all the fellas in a room, and we are going to lay it out on the line. We're going to tell our own story, and we're going to just lay it out all on the table. It's coming. It's coming soon.
Well, would Russ accept that invitation?
If anybody can convince him, I think I can get him to sit down with us.
It'll
be like when we're all retired and done, so it'll take some time, but I believe he'll do it.
Wrapping up with KJ. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and I'll facilitate it properly to where we're going to be honest, but it ain't going to be no bashing and all this stuff. I'll facilitate it properly to where we're all having a very transparent and honest, hard conversation.
Hey, by the way, I was listening to your radio show. This was 2 weeks ago. What was up with Sherm going after Mike Salk during that interview?
I know. I brought Sherm. I said, hey, Sherm, I know you're not cool with the guy, but just do me a solid. Do this for your guy. Okay, I love you. I can't make any promises, but I'll come on the show. And we was moving and grooving. We was talking. Brock Curia was talking. Myself was talking. But as soon as Mike Salk jumped on, it was all downhill from there. So it was good for radio, as they said, but it was hard for me to have my guy come on there and at the end like that.
Well, yeah, that was the thing, because, I know Richard Sherman's a great get by you guys, obviously, but it's Mike's show. Like, what did Richard expect? Him not to talk on his own show?
And you cannot dismiss a man from his own show.
Yeah.
So they was going back and forth. I tried to stop and intervene. It was just a complete disaster. I just know now, do not bring Sherm on your radio show with 710.
Or maybe you keep on doing it, but you tell Sherm to actually talk to Mike Salk, maybe. That would be good radio. Hey,
yeah.
Before we let you run, KJ Wright, Jets and the Seahawks, where's the confidence? Because early on in the year, you were telling me Seattle's going to be better than what people thought. Where's your confidence that Seattle's going to get the job done this weekend against the Jets at?
Before the season, I predicted my Seahawks to win 9 games. Here we are at 7. And we're facing a Jets team who is also desperate. They're getting a quarterback, Mike White, back. They have a really good defense over there. They have a decent run game. We haven't been able to stop the run in the month of November or December. I'm a little nervous. It's a team that wants it bad. It's coming in. Our offense has been struggling. The writing on the wall is saying it's going to be a really tough matchup. And so we'll see. It's going to be a hard-fought game. I know that Jets team is going to want to get back rolling with Mike White coming back, being their quarterback.
I know that you want to see the Jets lose this weekend, but that defense with Sauce Gardner and Quinton Williams, man, they're fun to watch.
I know. And DJ Reed is coming back. My former teammate in Seattle, he's coming back for a revenge game. CJ Mosley made the Pro Bowl. They have some guys over there. And so it's going to be a hard-fought battle. Geno hasn't looked how he did earlier in the season. Made the Pro Bowl, but it's been a struggle lately. And so it's going to be a battle. And we haven't necessarily played great at home. And so we'll see how it all unfolds.
If you were the general manager, if you were John Schneider, right, if you were Pete Carroll, you're the brain trust of the Seattle Seahawks, are you bringing back Geno Smith next year?
Yeah, I'm waiting to the draft. If I can get my quarterback, we'll see if they get their quarterback. If they don't get their quarterback, absolutely. Geno has played well enough to earn himself a contract, but I do believe if they could find their guy, they won't reach in the draft. If they could find their guy in the draft, I do believe that they'll take him. But Geno, for sure, he's put together a solid season enough to come back.
Well, KJ Wright, always do appreciate the time. You and the family be well, and have a good start to your 2023, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.